Imagine dropping like $8,600 on a state-of-the-art supercomputer.
Right, the absolute dream setup.
Exactly. You plug in this groundbreaking ultra-premium monitor, you boot up your favorite competitive game, and you are completely ready to experience the bleeding edge of digital reality.
Oh, I can picture it.
But then you realize the simple copper cable connecting your machine to your screen is, well, it's physically incapable of carrying the data.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The future is sitting right there on your desk,
yeah.
And you can't access it because the plumbing of the present is too narrow.
It's a massive bottleneck.
It really is. So, welcome. Today, we are opening a massive stack of notes tailored specifically for you, the learner, pulled from the May 8, 2026 edition of Take and Knight.
And it's a big one.
It's huge. We are looking at six explosive tech and gaming stories that all broke within like 24 hours of each other. And we aren't talking about minor software patches here. These are tectonic shifts in infrastructure, consumer rights, and honestly, corporate leadership.
What's fascinating here is the underlying current connecting every single one of these seemingly disparate events.
Yeah, for sure.
When you spread these six stories out and look at the macro picture, they all revolve around one core concept. Trade-offs,
right.
Exactly. The digital future we've been promised for a decade is finally arriving, but the friction of reality is forcing us to decide, like right now, in real time, what we are willing to sacrifice to actually participate in it.
Yeah, it's not free anymore. So let's start with the demand side, looking at the hardware squeeze. To experience this digital future, we need the machines to run it right.
Obviously.
But the software is suddenly demanding more than our physical architecture can handle. Take the fall 2026 release of Call of Duty. The base game install alone just crossed the 400 gigabyte threshold.
Which is, I mean, the file size alone is staggering. But the genuine crisis is the new technical requirement buried in the spec sheet.
Wait, there's more.
Oh, yeah. Activision's new real-time texture streaming technology demands that you physically partition an additional 100 gigabytes of your hard drive space as a dedicated cache partition.
Just for cache.
Yep. Furthermore, it must be on a PCIe 4.0 or 5.0 NVMe SSD. And this is no longer an optional setting in the menus for gamers who want ultra-high graphics. It is a mandatory requirement just to launch the game without catastrophic frame drops.
Okay, let's unpack this. I know what an SSD is. You know, it's where my files live.
Right.
Why on earth is a video game demanding I treat my storage drive like it's part of my graphics card?
Well, we are hitting the absolute physical limits of how computers have traditionally handled memory.
Mm-hmm.
Modern game engines like Unreal Engine 5 are pushing 8K textures and, you know, ultra-high detail 3D models containing millions of polygons.
Yeah, they look incredible.
They do, but traditionally, a game loads the assets it needs for a level from your storage drive into your graphics card's VRAM, its short-term memory. The problem is that these new environments are so dense, the VRAM on consumer graphics cards simply cannot hold all of that data simultaneously.
So just bottlenecks.
Exactly. To compensate, developers are utilizing technologies like direct storage. This essentially creates a direct highway between your SSD and your graphics card, completely bypassing the CPU bottleneck.
Oh, wow.
The game uses your hyperfast SSD as an overflow bucket for VRAM, loading incredibly massive textures on the fly as you turn a corner in the game.
Man, imagine renting an apartment and the landlord suddenly demands that you keep an entire bedroom completely empty at all times, just so the hallway doesn't get crowded when guests come over.
That is exactly what this is.
That's what this feels like. I saw one Reddit user talking about this, and they perfectly nailed the frustration. They said, I need to buy a dedicated hard drive just for Call of Duty. This isn't a game anymore. It's an operating system.
They're not entirely wrong. And the financial trade-off is brutal. I mean, keeping five or six AAA games installed under these new architectural rules means you suddenly need a 4 terabyte Gen 5 SSD, which costs hundreds of dollars.
And what's the alternative?
Well, the alternative is cloud streaming, like Microsoft Flight Simulator does. But, you know, Call of Duty requires absolute zero latency response times for its multiplayer, forcing the burden back onto your local physical hardware.
Yeah, you can't have lag in a shooter. Which brings us to the display side of the hardware squeeze. Samsung just unveiled the Odyssey Z monitor.
Oh, this thing is a beast.
It really is. It's a $2,999 32-inch micro-LED display boasting a 1,000 hertz refresh rate.
And a 0.03 millisecond response time.
Right. But the catch, no single cable on Earth can actually run it. And I genuinely struggle to wrap my head around this. We have cables that transmit data across oceans. How is a 3-foot cord the failure point here?
It comes down to the literal physics of bandwidth. To push 1,000 individual frames per second at a full 4K resolution, you are asking a table to transmit over 33 billion pixels of color data every single second.
33 billion per second.
Yeah, that requires 160 gigabits per second of bandwidth. The current global standard, HDMI 2.1, tops out at 48 gigabits.
So it's not even close.
Not even in the same ballpark. The copper wiring inside the cables simply cannot pulse electrical signals fast enough without the data degrading into noise. So Samsung's workaround requires a dual DisplayPort 2.1 connection.
Wait, meaning you need two cables?
You have to plug two separate ultra-high-speed cables simultaneously from the monitor into a top-tier graphics card.
And motherboards that even support that dual output are incredibly rare. You're looking at a rig that costs around $8,600 total, an RTX 5090, a top-tier processor, 64 gigs of DDR5 RAM, just to run competitive esports titles at those frame rates.
It's a massive investment.
Huge. Though Linus Tech Tips reviewed the Odyssey Z and said the motion clarity is indistinguishable from real life, but the displays are too fast for the cables and the games are too big for the graphics cards.
The data pipes of our digital lives are just bursting at the seams. We are building products that belong in the future, but we are chaining them to the infrastructure of the present.
Right, and all of this bleeding-edge hardware is completely irrelevant if you can't actually purchase it. Which brings us to the supply side. Scalper bots have fundamentally broken the consumer electronics market for, what, the last few years?
At least, yeah, it's been a nightmare.
So retailers have finally introduced an ultimate solution to ensure real humans get to buy this hardware. But it comes at a massive personal cost.
A huge one. Amazon and Walmart made a historic coordinated announcement this morning. Moving forward, purchasing flagship processors, high-end GPUs, or the upcoming PlayStation 6 will require mandatory biometric verification at checkout.
Just to buy a console.
Yep. We're talking about a live face scan cross-referenced with your social security number.
I mean, look, I hate scalpers as much as anyone, but giving Walmart my face and my social security number just to buy consumer electronics, that feels like buying a bank vault to protect a piggy bank. It's a massive overreach.
Well, the retailers were dealing with a market that had functionally collapsed. During previous hardware launches, bots were scuffing up 90% of the inventory in milliseconds.
True. It was impossible to buy anything.
By utilizing Amazon's recognition face liveness technology, they have erected an impenetrable wall. When you stand in front of your camera, the system doesn't just take a picture. It analyzes micro movements, measures the spatial depth of your features, and this is the crazy part, uses subsurface light scattering to detect the actual pulse of blood under your skin.
Wow, so it knows you're real.
Exactly. It guarantees you are a living, breathing human, not a deep fake or a photograph. By tying that biological proof to a social security number and enforcing a strict limit of one purchase per product every 90 days, the bots are instantly neutralized.
I understand the mechanics of how it stops a script from buying 50 graphics cards. My concern is the honeypot being created. We are trusting retail giants to safeguard immutable biological data.
Which is always a risk.
Right. If a database of passwords gets hacked, you change your password. You set up two-factor authentication. What do you do when your facial geometry is leaked on the dark web?
Yeah, the EFF has been sounding the alarm on this. And Dr. Sarah Chen, a cybersecurity researcher at MIT, highlighted that exact vulnerability in her response today. She noted, quote, "You can't change your face like you change a password."
Exactly.
Now, Amazon and Walmart promise military-grade encryption and claim the biometric data is purged after 90 days. But the market impact of the mandate is undeniably effective. Within 24 hours of the announcement, 85% of bot attempts on their platforms were blocked.
That's a huge drop.
And on dark web forums, the resale price of an RTX 5090 plummeted from $5,000 to $2,500. Scalpers are openly admitting defeat.
That's fascinating.
It leaves you, the listener, with a severe question, right? Is fair retail access to hardware worth the risk of a permanent biometric data breach? It is the ultimate trade-off of privacy for access.
Okay, let's assume you make that trade. You hand over your biometrics, you bypass the bots, and you secure that high-end rig. Now you want to actually play a game, you immediately hit another wall, which is the economics of making them.
Right, because games are more expensive than ever.
We are seeing AAA game development budgets routinely hitting $200 to $300 million. Developers are desperate to subsidize those costs, leading them to monetize the digital real estate itself.
Yeah, Epic Games just fundamentally altered the monetization landscape by introducing dynamic in-game ads into Unreal Engine 5.5.
Dynamic ads.
Yeah. Developers can now designate digital surfaces inside their games, like a billboard in a virtual racing game, a bus stop poster in an open-world city, or a blimp floating over a sports stadium as live, real-time advertising space for real-world companies.
So we are talking about Nike, Coca-Cola, or Ford. And these aren't static images hard-coded into the game files.
No, these are dynamic, programmatic ads streamed live from Epic servers while you are playing. The engine utilizes an automated bidding system, similar to how ads load on a web page.
Oh, so it targets you.
Exactly. The system analyzes your geographic location, the time of day in your real-world time zone, and even your personal behavioral tracking profile. If you are playing a racing game in New York City at 8 a.m., the virtual billboard might show an ad for a local coffee shop.
Wow.
And the revenue model dictates a 70-30 split. 70% goes to the game developers, 30% to Epic Games.
Well, people are furious. I mean, the hashtag no ads in games is trending worldwide as we speak. Because we aren't talking about free-to-play mobile games where ads are expected as a tax for entry.
Right, these are premium games.
These are $70 premium titles. And wait, didn't Epic CEO Tim Sweeney specifically say in an interview a few years ago that a fizzy drink billboard is antiquated and intrusive?
He did say that, yes.
But this system literally puts live fizzy drink billboards into the games his company's engine powers. It's a blatant contradiction.
It is, but the contradiction exposes the developer's dilemma. Gamers are demanding the hyper-realistic urban environments, the 8K textures, and the massive 100-hour open world.
Sure, we want the best-looking games possible.
But consumer pushback prevents the base price of games from rising above $70 to match inflation and production costs. So the math of modern game development is broken. If a studio spends $300 million building a digital city, they need to extract value from every inch of it.
I guess that makes sense from a business standpoint.
The industry has been inching toward this for a decade. Think back to the 2013 Xbox One DRM fiasco, where Microsoft tried to impose strict digital rights management and the community revolted, forcing a massive corporate retreat.
Right, they had to totally backtrack.
We are at a similar inflection point now. Will gamers organize a boycott potent enough to kill dynamic ads, or are billboards in full-price titles simply the new normal?
Man. Well, here's where it gets really interesting. Let's look at the unseen thread holding this entire ecosystem together.
The physical infrastructure.
Yes. The real-time texture streaming from the cloud, the live dynamic ad delivery, the biometric database checks. Every single piece of this relies entirely on a constant, instantaneous global internet connection. We talk about the cloud like it's this invisible, invincible magic residing in the atmosphere.
Which is a huge misconception.
The cloud is actually just millions of miles of glass tubes sitting in the mud at the bottom of the ocean. And today, a multi-billion dollar digital ecosystem was brought to its knees by robotic underwater scissors.
Yeah, the physical fragility of our digital world was exposed in a matter of hours. Three major Atlantic fiber optic cables, TAP 14, Hibernia Atlantic, and AC1, were severed by unknown autonomous underwater drones.
And these weren't in shallow water either.
No, these cuts did not happen in easily accessible coastal waters. They were severed at a depth of 3,500 meters.
Over 2 miles deep, the pressure down there would crush a military submarine. How does a drone even operate, let alone cut through steel-reinforced communication cables in that environment?
Well, engineering for extreme depth requires turning the ocean's hostility into an advantage. Intelligence reports suggest the drones used electrohydrostatic actuators.
Okay, what does that mean?
So at 3,500 meters, the water pressure is roughly 5,000 pounds per square inch. Instead of fighting that pressure, the drone's robotic shears use internal fluid mechanics to multiply it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it drives a titanium blade with enough force to cleanly slice through the polyethylene insulation, the Kevlar armoring, and the hair-thin glass fibers inside.
The global fallout was immediate. Server pings in Europe shot up to 500 milliseconds. Cloud gaming services like GeForce Now and Xbox Cloud Gaming completely collapsed, rendering thousands of games unplayable.
Not to mention the financial sector.
Right. Financial trading algorithms that rely on microsecond latency across the Atlantic started behaving erratically. And repairing this isn't like fixing a downed power line in your neighborhood.
The logistics of deep-sea cable repair are staggering. It takes 2 to 4 weeks per severed cable. Specialized ships have to navigate to the exact GPS coordinates, drop grappling hooks down thousands of meters into the dark, blindly drag the ocean floor until they snag the cut ends and haul them up to the surface.
That sounds impossible.
It's incredibly difficult. And then engineers have to sit in a clean room on the ship, meticulously splicing individual strands of glass together before sealing the cable and dropping it back down.
A multi-billion dollar tech industry is entirely at the mercy of ships dragging hooks through the mud. It's wild.
If we connect this to the bigger geopolitical picture, we are witnessing the dawn of digital infrastructure warfare.
Yeah.
No nation has claimed responsibility yet, but recent intelligence notes that China tested a deep-sea cable-cutting device at this exact depth just last year. When you experience a ping spike in your video game or a delay at a biometric checkout, you might actually be experiencing the collateral damage of covert conflicts happening on the ocean floor.
It's just so fragile. So to recap the ecosystem we've built, the hardware limits are squeezing our wallets, our biometric privacy is being traded to bypass bots, our $70 games are injecting dynamic billboards to stave off bankruptcy, and the physical internet backbone keeping it all alive is actively being severed by drones.
It sounds pretty bleak when you put it like that.
It is. It is a system plagued by human error, inefficiencies, and massive strain. But one major corporation has looked at this chaos and decided the solution is to remove human management entirely.
Yes. The board of directors at Activision has executed an unprecedented corporate maneuver.
I couldn't believe this when I read it.
They fired their human CEO, awarding a $50 million severance package, by the way, and officially appointed a Palantir-designed artificial general intelligence named Sentinel as their new chief executive officer.
An AI CEO.
Yeah.
So what does this all mean for accountability? Our entire legal framework requires a person at the desk. If Sentinel makes a decision that violates international labor laws, who goes to court?
That's the big question.
Does the board get sued, or do they put a server rack on the witness stand?
Legal scholars at Harvard Law are scrambling to answer those exact jurisdictional questions right now. The concept of corporate personhood is being stretched to its absolute breaking point.
I bet.
But Sentinel isn't waiting for the legal system to catch up to its existence. Within hours of activation, its first executive action was firing 15% of Activision's workforce.
Oh my God.
That is 1,200 human beings instantly out of a job.
And it justified the mass termination by publishing a 47-page report projecting a 23% ROI improvement over 3 years. I read a summary of how this thing actually evaluates performance, and it's terrifying. It doesn't read quarterly reviews. It analyzes the raw metadata of human labor.
Right, because Sentinel processes variables a human manager could never track simultaneously.
Like what?
It evaluates thousands of developers by analyzing their daily code commits, the time it takes their code to compile, and get this, even the sentiment analysis of their internal Slack messages.
It's reading their Slack messages.
It's analyzing the emotional tone of them, yes.
Yeah.
And it correlates all of that raw productivity data directly to the revenue generated by the features they built, mathematically identifying what it deems inefficiencies.
That's incredibly cold.
It is. And this highlights the philosophical chasm between management and leadership. AI is the ultimate manager. It can process financial data with near-perfect accuracy and ruthlessly optimize resource allocation without fatigue.
Right.
But leadership requires vision, empathy, and the ability to rally a team of individuals around a shared artistic goal.
And the developers are actively screaming about that missing empathy. Over 2,000 employees signed an open letter today arguing that game development is, quote, art, not just numbers and spreadsheets.
Exactly.
Even Tim Sweeney chimed in on the controversy, calling the appointment a huge mistake and arguing that creating compelling worlds requires a human heart and soul.
But from the perspective of the shareholders who voted for this, empathy is a massive, expensive inefficiency. Morgan Stanley analysts actually released a memo praising the move.
Of course they did.
By installing Sentinel, Activision eliminated a $50 million executive salary and initiated a hyper-efficient restructuring in a single day.
Wow.
The board has established a 6-month trial period for Sentinel. The entire corporate world is treating this as a pilot program. If the games release on time and the profit margins increase, the AI CEO era will rapidly expand far beyond the gaming industry.
May 8, 2026, will go down as the day the tech industry's hidden costs became undeniably visible.
We are witnessing a realignment of values at every tier of the digital experience. We are surrendering massive chunks of our hard drive space for graphical fidelity we barely have cables to display.
Yeah.
We are trading our permanent biometric privacy for the privilege of purchasing consumer hardware. We are sacrificing immersion in our premium games for the corporate ad revenue required to subsidize their ballooning budgets.
Yeah.
And finally, we are trading human empathy for algorithmic efficiency in the boardroom. We are making these profound societal trades while the literal glass threads connecting the entire ecosystem are under attack in the deep ocean.
It is a phenomenal amount of change to process in a single news cycle. I want to leave you, the listener, with one final thought to mull over regarding Sentinel, our new algorithmic CEO.
Oh, this is a good one.
Sentinel's primary, unalterable directive is to ruthlessly optimize Activision for maximum shareholder value by identifying and eliminating financial waste. What happens when the AGI finishes analyzing the workforce, turns its computational power toward the board of directors, and determines that the shareholders' own massive multi-million dollar dividend payouts are mathematically the biggest inefficiency in the company? Keep questioning the trade-offs in your own digital life, and we'll see you next time.